From North State Public Radio, I'm Avanor Grove with your headlines for Wednesday, October 2nd. Authorities are still on the lookout for an escaped inmate who broke out of Plumas County Sheriff's custody on Friday. NSPR's Eric Adams reports.
The sheriff's office and several other law enforcement agencies are joining in the search for Caleb Dwyer, who was jailed for domestic violence charges.
It's basically a nationwide search at this point.
That's Plumas County Undersheriff Chad Herman. He says a warrant is out for Dwyer's arrest in all 50 states.
So currently we're utilizing the FBI, we're utilizing the U.S. Marshal Services, we're utilizing agencies in the Nevada area.
A press release from the sheriff's office Monday said Dwyer manipulated two fences to make his escape.
It's chain link fencing, and they're damaged to the point where he's able to move the wiring around to scoot through.
The Plumas County District Attorney's Office told NSPR if Dwyer is apprehended, he's facing a felony escape charge on top of his initial charges. In Chico, I'm Eric Adams.
The Plumas County Sheriff asks residents to contact authorities if they have any information about Dwyer's whereabouts. A photo is available on mynspr.org, along with a longer conversation with Herman. And in other news, nationally, about one in four women and one in nine men will experience domestic abuse or sexual violence, and the numbers are likely much higher. Alisa Cozine is a prevention advocate with Catalyst, which provides services to victims of abuse in Butte County. Today, Catalyst will host a memorial service called Flowers on the Creek as part of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. She says it will give people an opportunity to share the names and stories of people who have lost their lives over the past year due to partner violence in Northern California.
During this month, historically, victim advocates, professionals, survivors of abuse, community members, come together to mourn, to celebrate the progress we've made in addressing intimate partner violence in our community, and to connect with others who are also working to create change.
The gathering will begin at 5:30 this afternoon at One Mile Recreation Area in Chico. And Shasta County is considering rebranding itself as a tourist hotspot and could spend up to $1 million doing so. The Reading Record Searchlight reports an ad hoc committee of county officials are reviewing proposals for the campaign. Some have been critical of the potential deal as the county faces a tight budget. The paper reports that citizens criticized the Board of Supervisors for considering the deal, while an overhaul to the county jail has stalled due to lack of funds. Supervisors Chris Kellstrom and Tim Garman and Auditor Controller Nolda Short are on the committee reviewing the proposals. And finally, the city of Chico is asking a U.S. District Court to allow it to exit a settlement agreement, which prevents it from enforcing anti-camping ordinances on unhoused residents even when shelter isn't available. Called Warren v. Chico, the agreement brought about the city's Genesis site of more than 170 micro-shelters and its alternative camping site. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Michael Weber, a reporter with the Chico Enterprise Record. Weber starts by explaining that if the city is allowed to exit the agreement, it would be allowed to enforce anti-camping ordinances without needing to give 17-day notices to unhoused residents.
So now Chico's trying to get rid of this, what it sees as a burden of the 17-day process, and shorten the time length so that it can enforce more regularly and enforce in alignment with other state laws and other local laws. But because Chico's tied in this agreement, it has that 17-day noticing and shelter assessment process.
And Chico wants to go to a 72-hour notification process. Is that correct?
So I believe the 72-hour notice process is kind of like a state standard. Most cities have that 72-hour notice. I'm not sure how that's structured, but I believe they just would be reverting back to how Chico would do enforcement before 2021, basically, before the injunction happened. Legal services, as far as I understand, they're trying to affirm that Chico is looking to adjust the agreement rather than exit the agreement, because while Grants Pass versus Johnson might address shelter availability, it still might not address how police would handle private property that a person might be camping with. They argued in their filing on Tuesday, Chico might have had policies that prohibited throwing away valuable items during these enforcements, but it was reported often that, you know, people would lose their belongings during these enforcements and not knowing what happened to them. So there's a lot of different factors here. The city has made clear that they're looking to keep their investments made that's been made in the past couple of years, especially in the pallet shelter and all the work that's been done to kind of create that, structure of getting people from off the street into housing. But it is looking for relief on, restrictions that prevent the city from cleaning health hazards or other public light that they mentioned the word blight. They're looking to get rid of the blight in the community, and by the end of the year, they're seeking to close one of the campgrounds that's actually required by the settlement. The settlement requires Chico to have an alternate campground for people who aren't accommodated in shelters, say they might have too many pets, and ultimately it said it's looking to close that encampment by the end of this year.
And at that point, people would simply have the option of accepting whatever shelter options are provided them, or they would they at least would not be allowed to set up somewhere else. They would essentially be facing then some kind of legal action, enforcement action.
Now, this hasn't been outright said, but I think it can be inferred by the plans that the city is making. And there are a couple of complications with this, especially considering a confusion between criminal activity and even a disabled homeless population. For a lot of folks in Chico who are able to, they've been able to get into shelters and into housing. However, there are a lot of people who haven't gone into shelters for a whole bunch of reasons. One, maybe they may be interested in criminal activity, or two, they might have disabilities that actually prevent them from being compatible with the shelter. There are folks on the street who have tried shelter, but they have been they've been exited because of behavioral problems or mental health problems that don't allow them to be.
They don't make them good candidates for.
They'll make the rest of the shelter an unsafe environment.
The court now has simply said that they don't need it. The judge doesn't need oral arguments. He'd rather have written arguments.
A hearing was scheduled to hear the arguments of the parties, but the hearing was canceled. I've been informed that the judge can make a decision, though, without oral arguments. So whether or not or when that might come, I'm not particularly privy on. Ultimately, this is settled by a court that's overseeing the settlement agreement in itself. Chico is required to respond by October 4th, and Legal Services just sent theirs in. So once Chico sends in their reply, the judge will see all their arguments and will make a decision.
That was Chico Enterprise Record reporter Michael Weber speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. And those are your headlines for Wednesday, October 2nd. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eva Norgrove.